We will continue today in our studies in the different types of personalities. It's been a while since we did our last lesson. So today I will try to review with you what we studied before, so it will be a recap. Then when we continue, it will not be a gap between what we studied before and what we will be studying. So personalities. The word personalities, as we studied before, came from the Latin word persona, and persona means mask. So in the old Roman tradition, when they do a play, the actor used to put a mask on his face that represent the character that he is playing, or the persona. From that came the word personality, which means the character of the person, which character you are. We studied before that our personalities is made in heaven. God created our personalities as he created our colors of eyes, our fingerprint, our heart rate, our heart print, thumb, everything that God created in us, as he created all our physical body, and he created our soul, he created our personalities. From science, they studied that, the study said that chromosome 6 and 11 are responsible for the type of personalities we have. So as we will see, a big part of it, we inherited. It comes from our genes. We inherit lots of the characters in our personalities. And this is all created from God, as we read in Psalm 139:13, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother womb." What is the definition of personality? We took that before. And we said that it's a combination of characteristics or qualities that form an individual distinctive character, or from the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the set of emotional qualities, ways of behavior, etc., that makes person different from other people. So it has certain attribute that build this characteristic. What are these attributes? There are three different types of attributes. Intellectual attributes, how I am thinking. Emotional attributes, how do I feel? How do I love? Jealousy, it's all about the feelings. And the behavioral attribute, how do I act, drink, sleep, deal with the other, deal with my spouse, with my kids, with everybody around me. Or what we call it, the 3H. These three attributes, intellectual attribute, thinking, which is the head. Next one, the emotional attribute, my feelings, which is the heart. And the last one, the behavioral attribute, how I act, is the hand. So the 3H, head, heart, and hand. These are the three different attributes that give the characteristics or the form of my personality. Personality is built from different blocks. It starts from the foundation, which, as we just said, it comes from the genes, from the inheritance. What I inherit from my parents and from my grandparents, this is what God created in me. I have no choice on that. God put this characteristic in me, and this is the pure characteristic of my personality. I have no interference with that. I have no influence on that. And that came from God. And remember that God created everything good. He never created anything bad. When we read in Genesis 1 that after every creation, God found that what he created was good. And when he created man, he found that it was very good. Then world around us, education, how we grow up, the way that we has been teach, and our parents, how they teached us, they disciplined us. Of course, the parents, they do their best to raise their kids to their knowledge in the best way. But a lot of time, unwillingly, parents, because of whatever mistakes in them, instead of building, sometimes they break some stuff. The way they discipline us, sometimes it is building, sometimes it can be destructive. So that's another thing that we don't have a choice in. And then when we go to the top of the pyramid, the education and the culture, there are some stuff that we have control of. And when I'm saying education and culture, I'm not just talking about you go to school, you finish this degree, and this will be your education. No. Education is your knowledge, your intellectual studies, all what you do to build your own knowledge and your own personality, and this is fully under your control. Yeah, maybe the education system can have something bad, but you have a part on that with the way that you want to educate yourself. So as we see, the bottom line is inherited from God, the gene, and it's like an onion shape. The inner part is so good and pure. As we will see the next slide, the center point of our personality, the bottom line, comes from the genes, what we inherited, what God put in us. And then things start accumulating around that. We have our parents, the discipline they do for us, education, social life. Sin has big impact on our personality and culture. So you can imagine your pure personality is the part that is in the center, in the middle, the genes. And all these layers around shape or reform or disform the type of personalities you have. So what we are studying here is how God fixes all this damage that happened from the others, from our sins, from the culture, from education, how God removed the and or peel off this layer to fix it, to come back to its pure way that He created us. And when we read the Bible, when we study any person from the Bible, we find that we are all different. We are not all the same. We have difference, and God created us that we will be different, that we depend on each other. We studied four different types of personalities. We'll go over that quickly. We have the perfect personality or the analytical person, and this is the most of the, there are different types of studies in the personality. This is the most common, and we're talking about the main four types of personality. We will see that we are all combinations of these types of personality. About 15% of the people has abnormal personality or personality disorder. We are not talking about that. We are talking about the normal personality. So the first one is the perfect or the analytical, and it's symbolized by the color green in all studies, and it has a symbol of the owl. The owl in Egyptian culture may be something bad or bad luck, or we look at, I don't know where it came from that it is bad, but in other Arab culture and in the Western culture, the owl represent what? Does anyone know? Sorry? No. Wisdom. Wisdom. Why? Maybe the owl doesn't have a sharp vision like the eagle, but it has a very special characteristic in their eyes. They can see through the dark. When nobody can see, the owl can see through the dark. And this is the analytical personality, the perfectionist can look and analyze things and see things that the other doesn't see. The other personality is the peaceful, and it is symbolized by the color blue and the dove. And this is the emotional, the sensitive personality who is very meek, humble. He doesn't hurt anyone. He is very sensitive. He likes to help people. He doesn't hurt anyone. And the dove, it's always a very nice bird, but sometimes we see it sad or weak. The next personality is the powerful, the leadership, and as we see, it has the color red. So the red is a color of warning, alert. So this personality can be very aggressive, very attacking. We will read, we will study that next time in God willing, how this personality can be very successful, taking action, doing things, but he can be very aggressive in attacking the others, and the symbol of it is the eagle. The last personality is popular, and the popular has a symbol of the peacock and the color yellow. And this personality usually is very social, very lovable, very funny. He's so proud of himself or herself. He's very showy. He wants to everybody point at him or at her and see him only. These are the different four types of personality represented by the four colors, and I intentionally put the four colors interacting with each other because no one of us has one single type of personality. You cannot say, I am peaceful, I'm perfect. Yeah, some people are perfectionists, but it doesn't mean that they are 100% of this personality, or if you are 100% of one personality, you might need to seek a professional advice to help you out because you will be in a very bad shape. So God make the mix. It's like when you bake a cake at home. You have flour, you have sugar, you have butter, you have water, you have different ingredients, and you mix them together to make a cake. Maybe the same ingredient, you mix it with a different quantities, it will give you a different types of food or recipe. We studied the first time the peaceful personality, and we will fly through the strengths. And this we said the person from the Bible that was representing the peaceful personality was Saint John the Beloved. And the strengths of this personality, He was always leaning on Jesus. He, beloved, he has excess emotion of feelings, of need of love. He is so attached. He's so sensitive. So he was always close to Jesus, putting his head on his chest. And five times in his gospel, he tells us that he was a disciple, that Jesus loved him. And we said that it was even better that the Bible said, Jesus loved him, not him loved Jesus, because Jesus' love is more constant, but our love is fluctuating. He was always accompanied by Jesus. He was the only disciple that followed Jesus to the cross. And my personal belief that the main factor that helped St. John to walk all the way to the cross with all this trouble, that because he was fully in love, he loved Jesus. The love didn't make him see any danger. He didn't feel like he is going to sacrifice himself. No, he is just following that the one he loves. He didn't think about the world. He was just focusing on the one that he loves, and he followed him all the way to the end, to the cross. Does this personality has... Oh, and as well we said it's sincere, honor, meek, and humble. And we said the difference between meek and humble. Meek doesn't hurt anyone. Humble is opposite, doesn't get hurt from anyone. So it has these two characteristics, meek and humble. weakness of this personality. We said that the first weakness, he has very, very strong emotional needs that can reach emotional dependency. He is so attached. We saw at the hardest moment of our Lord's life on earth, he is preparing to go to the cross. He wants to deliver the last message to his disciple. He was so troubled in his heart with all the sins of the world that he is going to carry. But St. John, all what he is worried about, just want to be beside you and lean my head on your chest. Doesn't care about anything. He cares about the person he loves. I just want to be so close to you. So sometimes it can be like to a point that can be hard. The second weakness, he is a follower. We read a lot about St. John that he was following St. Peter. He can be even fanatic when he attached to a group. He can be very fanatic. And as we saw that when Jesus went with his disciple to one of the villages and they didn't accept him, he said, oh, do you want to that we ask like Elijah that fire come from heaven and burn them? So sometimes he can tend to be fanatic, not in a bad way, but because of his life and love and attachment to the group that he is following, he can be very aggressive in attacking whoever against this group. And he is extra sensitive. He can get hurt very, very easy. And we read a lot in the Bible about St. John. In many occasions, and even in the book of Revelation, while God is showing him all this in heaven, he sees stuff and starts crying. So he has lots of tears. So this personality is very, very sensitive, and he has lots of tears. How God deals with this personality, how he fixes the weakness to bring it back and polish it to the perfect way that God created. And first of all, God fulfilled his needs. How Jesus did that with St. John, he make him one of the three that were always with him, so he will be close physically, that he need this touch of love, so he is close always to him, one of the three. He always lean on his chest, so in that hard time when he was leaning on his chest before the cross, the Lord didn't say, oh, it's not time, or kicked him away. No, he was still giving him the love he needs. The second one, the Lord uses his talent. So his expertise, his talent is in the area of sensitivity, in area of love. So how God fulfilled that? Okay, you are good in love. You are a very sensitive person. You are the one who's going to write and teach about love. So he wrote his gospel and the three letters and the book of Revelation, and he was talking a lot about love. Not only by doing that, but at the last moments of his life on the cross, he said to St. John, here is your mother, and said to St. Mary, here is your son, because his excessive amount of love, he need to put it somewhere. He need to give it to someone. He need to take care of someone. So he didn't feel, or the Lord didn't feel comfortable leaving his mother with anyone except with the beloved son. Maybe if he leave it with St. Thomas. Sometimes he can be in doubt and leave her. Or St. Peter, he is very busy. He is going all over. He might travel and leave her alone. St. Paul never stayed in one place, so he won't have time for her. So the only person that he felt comfortable for St. Mary to be with, and as well that feed him with the love he needed of taking care of his mother. Last thing that God treated this personality, we said that he is extra sensitive, so he needs to fix that. We call it here giving him thick skin. How he did that? He didn't do a Bible study or a convention or taking him for a few days to give him a development training program. He took him to Patmos. So if you are this personality and you have this extra sensitive feelings, I don't know what is your Patmos will be. But when the Lord is taking you to Patmos is not to punish you, but to polish you. So everything that the Lord does in our life is to fix our personality. The other personality that we studied is the popular, and we said that the popular is the personality of Saint Peter, and as we see, the symbol of it is the peacock, which is, you see, he is very proud of his shape, of his colors, of his tail. So this is a type of the personality, of the popular personality. What are the strengths of this personality? He can be very courageous, talkative. He's very charismatic, influencing the other, expressive. We saw him after the Holy Spirit ascended on the disciple. He stand up and start speaking to the people freely. He was not shy, and he made 3,000 people change. He influenced them to come to Christianity. So he is very courageous and he is very talkative. Yet on the opposite side, as a weakness, because he is rushing to do things, his mouth is always faster than his head. He doesn't think enough. He just poof, say whatever he wants and jump to conclusion, take decision. The person of this type of personality maybe can get engaged in no time or make a relation in no time, but it can break very easy and very quickly because they don't plan, they don't think, and they tend to jump quickly to conclusion. They like to be the center of focus. So if they are not the center of focus, they can be disengaged. And we read 3 or 4 different times in the Bible about St. Peter that he was falling asleep. If he's not speaking, if he's not leading, he's in another world, he falls asleep. He can be moody. One of the biggest problem of this personality is the pride. It's all about me. He is the center of the world. Everybody should look at me. I am the one. How God fixed the weakness of this personality? Again, the first thing, he fulfilled his needs, but not like St. John, or not like the peaceful personality. The peaceful personality seeks love. This one seeks attention. So he gave him honor, he gave him his place, his position, as we read in Isaiah 43:4, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. So he takes the respect and appreciation. He was one of the three, but not to be close and attach as more that, yeah, I'm one of the three top people important. So he gave him his respect as well when the Lord healed his mother-in-law, that he gave him respect in front of his family. The other thing, which is we cannot get away from for this type of personality, pride, to fix it, has to be broken. He has to break. He fall, he was broken, and sometimes, not sometimes, always, if there is a pride, God wants to break it so he can fix it. You think that you are better than everybody else? Oh, even if everybody denies you, I will follow you even to the cross. Hey, take it easy. Calm down. You will deny me in front, not in front of the governor or a soldier or a sword. You will deny me in front of a servant. And I believe in the Gospel of Luke is the only one that it says that after the rooster crowed, Jesus looked at St. Peter. When he looked at him, he remembered, and he went out, and he bitterly wept. He was so broken. But the Lord didn't leave him down, didn't leave him broken, didn't leave him in the ground. He came back after resurrection and restore his soul. This is the third thing that the Lord does to fix this personality. He restore him to his position. Peter, do you love me? You know, Lord, that I love you. If you go back to the Greek origin of the word love in these verses, I believe it's in the Gospel of John chapter 21, you find that there are two different words of love that it is used there in the origin Greek. the word that the Lord was telling Saint John, Saint Peter, "Do you love me?" The agape, which is the utmost love that someone can give himself for the other. But Saint Peter, when he answered in, "Yeah, you know, I love you," in a different word that is in Arabic, like "ba'izzak," you are a dear person to me. He couldn't say the same word, but the Lord restored him and said to him, "I want you to take care of my people. I want you to take care of my flocks." And he made him a fisher of men. This is a two personalities that we studied before. And God willing, next month, we will study the powerful personality, the leadership. Any question?
So stand for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your name today. We thank you, God, for the gift of your Eucharist that you gave us. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be servants. And we ask you, Lord, to help our weaknesses to be better servants and to be faithful servants. Lord, bless our brethren and bless all who are present before you today, those who came and those who didn't come. Help us, O Lord. And through the intercession of the Holy Theotokos, Saint Mary, help us, hear us when we say thankfully, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Christ Jesus, our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen."